New request from Pakistan. The country wants the U.S. to scale down the drone attacks that have more than doubled since President Obama took office. Tonight, we want to talk about the president's use of military power. He's authorized a campaign in Libya without consulting Congress. Yet in 2007, candidate Obama told the Boston Globe, quote, "The president does not have power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation," close quote. One might argue that Libya does not pose an imminent threat to our nation right now. Joining us with their thoughts on these and similar subjects, Carolyn Heldman, an associate professor of political science at Occidental College, and Nick Gillespie, who is the editor-in-chief of Reason TV and Reason.com, and regular colleagues of mine on Fox News Channel, the Fox Business Network. Nick, to you first. Is there any dispute but that the president can't start a war on his own when the object of his war has not attacked us, has not threatened us, and isn't even arguably a threat to us?
Right. No, there absolutely isn't. And the only thing good that we can say about this is that it removes every last shred of doubt, or it should, among sentient beings, that Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, are exactly the same when it comes to expansive executive power. They say the same thing when they're out of power. They say that the president must be curtailed and constrained, and when they get into power, they look the other way. This is an atrocious but totally expected development in Obama's presidency.
I have a sneaking suspicion that your colleague, though a faculty member at a major university and a self-proclaimed liberal Democrat, Carolyn Heldman, agrees with Nick Gillespie on this one. Am I right?
Absolutely, Judge. I study the presidency, and anyone who studies the presidency knows that the Constitution does not authorize a president to go to war. It's only Congress. And the War Powers Resolution of 1973, as you pointed out, only authorizes the president to use force for 60 days if American lives, property, or U.S. soil is being threatened. That's not the case in Libya. I support the president's libertarian, humanitarian efforts to emancipate the rebels, but he has to do it through Congress. And this expansion of presidential power didn't start with him. It started many decades ago.
Right.
And I would agree with Nick, this is expected at
All
this
right.
point.
Nick, here's what gets me, and Carolyn, you can jump in on this. Feel free to. What really burns me is the Congress looking the other way. I mean, here he waited for Congress to be on spring break. Forgive me, Carolyn. I thought only colleges got spring break, but we know that Congress gets a spring break, too. He waits until he's in Brazil. He thumbs his nose at the Congress by getting permission of the Arab League, which is a bunch of dictators in Cairo, NATO, which is a bunch of social democrats in Belgium, and the pointy heads that will run the Security Council of the UN not far from here. Why didn't Congress, the week it returned, take to the floor and demand an answer from the president, or enact legislation demanding a return to the troops on the planes? Gillespie.
Well, you know, this is actually one of the key problems. I mean, we focus on the executive presidency or the imperial presidency because it's a single person, it's easy to understand, and it's a series of villains going back to, you know, somebody like Woodrow Wilson or Franklin Roosevelt or George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan, you know, who all contravened the Constitution in pursuit of their particular administration's goals. What is galling in the long run is that the Congress, which has the constitutional right and responsibility to declare war, has constantly gone missing in these types of things, where even the authorization of force, you know, in Iraq, you know, how did that, the second time around, how did that pass with more unanimity or near unanimity than the first Persian Gulf War? It's because Congress is filled with a bunch of total lily-livered sapsuckers who, you know, they might say that they belong to the Red Party or the Blue Party. The yellow stripe down their back that's the issue here.
All right. When we come back, Carolyn, I'm going to start with you and ask if we have two parties or we just have one party in the government called the War Party. More with our panel after this. We're back with Carolyn Heldman, an associate professor of political science at Occidental College, and Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason TV and Reason.com. Carolyn, why does it seem that everybody in the government, except for Dennis Kucinich, liberals, and Ron Paul, libertarians, seems to like war?
Well, I think that it's difficult to go against public opinion. I actually place the blame in the hands of the American public. We don't have constitutional literacy, and with the rise of mass media, we have given the president an inordinate amount of power to persuade us. And so I think it's very hard for Congress, which has been called the broken branch, to really stand against the president when he wants to push war measures through.
Nick Gillespie, the other night I asked that question to Charlie Rangel, the famously liberal, somewhat outrageous congressman from Harlem for the past 40 years. And he looked at me and he said, I won't imitate his voice, we like Barack Obama and we like all the other things he's done, so we're going to sort of let him get away with this one, and we can't stand Muammar Gaddafi. I mean, that is not an intellectually sound, legally acceptable, or constitutionally based reason for war.
No, it certainly isn't. And, you know, there's no question that the war fever goes back as far as human history. I mean, people, unfortunately, like war, and governments play to that all the time. I think it's true that we should have constitutional literacy. But, you know, these congressmen are not, you know, they're not cripples. They're not blind. They're not deaf. They're not lead poisoned children or something. These are people who are paid to uphold the Constitution, and they ought to start doing it, or we ought to start voting more of them out next time around.
Carolyn, do you understand that people will give a president a pass because the target of the military is someone who is so hated as Muammar Gaddafi? Or would it be better that they stuck to the Constitution, lest this become a precedent for a future president to follow?
Well, I think it has become precedent, and that's a problem. And I think that it's a problem anytime you get away from the Constitution. But unfortunately, we do rally around the flag. We give the president carte blanche during times of crisis. And so if he says it's a crisis, then we tend to rally behind him, or hopefully at some point her. And that's a really big problem when it comes to how our country is supposed to function.
It is a really big problem. And I think that every major president in modern times has done this, has expanded the power of the imperial presidency at the expense of the legislative branch. Carolyn Heldman, Nick Gillespie, thank you very much for joining us.